Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Sounders Weekly with your host, Jackson Feltz.
Good evening. Welcome into Sounders Weekly. This is your radio home for the Rave Green. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Jackson Feltz here on this, I would say beautiful, it's sunny, sorta, Tuesday evening here in Seattle. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight. Thanks for listening in. Unfortunately, we're talking about another Sounders loss here on the show. It's the third loss in four games for the Rave Green. This came at home to San Jose. It's the first time Sounders have lost to San Jose in many, many, many years. All time, they dropped to 14-11-8 now against San Jose, including 10-6-2 at Lumen Field. It was 14 matches. The Sounders were unbeaten against San Jose. They get the 1-0 win. A very, very tough day at the office for the Sounders. I mean, I think we've started to see over these last four games the club really missing all these injured players. And Nicholas Lodero, I think, is certainly at the top of that list. And having a midfielder right there in the middle like Nico does to control the game, to settle it down. So many times we see games for the Sounders become frantic, back and forth, way up and down the wings. And Nico will get a hold of the ball in the midfield, and everything will suddenly settle down. And sometimes he'll even take a foul. But that will allow the team to completely slow down the game, take back control, and we see the tempo go right back in their favor. And not having a Nicholas Lodero right now to be able to turn a game like that, it's a huge loss. Not having Nuhu on that back line. Over the start of the season, we saw Nuhu. I mean, really, it was a great debate of who is the Sounders' best defender. Is it Nuhu? Is it Yamar Gomez-Andrade? I think both of them had a case for that. So not having Nuhu on that back line, that concerning injury. We had Garth Lagerwey on, and Garth will be on here in a moment again. And we had him on to talk about that situation. He was talking about how there's not a timeline, and Brian Schmetzer has talked about how confusing it is. So for Nuhu right now, it's just such a huge question mark, and the team needs both of those guys back. Especially, they've been really doing well without a lot of these guys, but we're starting to see it catch up with them. From the loss in Minnesota, the loss to KC, and Sporting Kansas City just dominated that game. They were the better squad, as we talked about on last week's show. And then there was just San Jose, where the Sounders couldn't buy a chance. They couldn't get really anything going, and it was immensely frustrating. It was immensely concerning. I wasn't even on the broadcast. I didn't have a chance to get out there to Lumen. If you were following along at Jackson B. Feltz on Twitter, I went through some health stuff towards the end of last week, so I wasn't even able to be at the stadium. And not being there and just watching that from the television and throwing things around the family room of my house, yeah, it hurt. It really hurt. And I'm certain that a lot of you, whether you were in the stadium or whether you were at home, we're just as frustrated. So there was that immense disappointment. The good news is that FC Dallas, the Sounders' next opponent, and we're going to be previewing that match later in the show with Steve Davis. He's a TV analyst for FC Dallas. Steve Davis will join us a little bit later on tonight. So Dallas, they go and they beat Sporting Kansas City in KC, and that means that KC gets 0 points. They stay 2 points back of Seattle. They still have a game in hand, it should be noted. But good news there that the Sounders do not fall to second place in the Western Conference. They are still in first place. And then tomorrow, August 4th, your Seattle Sounders square off against FC Dallas at Lumen Field. You can get tickets to the 7 p.m. match by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. You can also watch the contest on Joe TV. You can stream it on Prime Video. You can listen listen in Spanish language on LRA 1360, but I encourage you to listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. You can do what I did just this last Saturday when I was at home. I have an Alexa device, and I said, Alexa, play 950 KJR. She dialed up 950 KJR. I was able to listen to Pete Fewing and Wade Weber, their pre-match and post-game shows. Keith Costigan was on the call with, as well, Casey Keller and Stephen Fry, and I just synced up my TV. I hit pause on my Xfinity TV, and then I waited until they were synced up, and I just listened to the game simply via there, and it was a pretty wonderful experience. So you can sync up 950 KJR, the iHeartRadio app, however you do it, right to your TV when you watch the game as well. It makes it a really fun experience, I thought, there on Saturday, excluding, of course, the loss. So you can do all of that here for the game coming up tomorrow, August 4th, and tomorrow's match is presented by Michelob Ultra. 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. So, like I mentioned, a lot coming up here on tonight's show. Garth Lagerwey, Steve Davis will join us. We'll also get 60 seconds in the South Sound from Andrew Harvey. Before Garth joins us, a couple other things to cover, and that first is the report by Stan Staskel of The Athletic about Atlanta. Atlanta United requesting permission to interview Gonzalo Pineda Gonzo about their head coaching position. We'll ask Garth about that in a moment and that whole situation, how that process works. The Gold Cup on Sunday, a very hearty congratulations to the United States men's national team and Christian Roldan. He was Greg Berhalter's ace in the hole coming off the bench. Christian getting that medal, the 117th minute header there from Miles Robinson. Outstanding to see the United States get that 1-0 win over Mexico. As I tweeted, the kids are the kings of CONCACAF, because that was the United States B squad, and you had the A squad, by the way, beat Mexico just a couple months ago, and they won the League's Cup. But here this was their B squad, and they also beat Mexico in extra time. Fantastic job by that entire crew. Wonderful to see. An interesting situation there was in the first half, where you have Portland Timbers midfielder Eric Williamson. He takes a ball off the face, and for a moment, Christian Roldan was warming up to come off the bench in the 15th minute or so. If Christian Roldan comes off the bench for the national team in the 15th minute, they might win in regulation, should be noted. But if they don't, and that thing goes 120, and Christian Roldan plays the entire game, there is 0.0 chance that Christian Roldan would be available for the Sounders then tomorrow on Wednesday against Dallas. But as it happens, Eric Williamson, a Portland Timber, stays on the field. He does something good for the Sounders. He stays on the field. Christian Roldan doesn't have to come off the bench. And then you see Christian does come off there in what ends up being about the 66th minute. He plays 54 and stoppage, including extra time. So now you have a chance. Now you have a chance for Christian Roldan to actually play against Dallas tomorrow, which is a huge boost for this Sounders squad that is missing a number of midfielders, including Josh Atencio. So congratulations to the U.S. national team. Congratulations to Christian Roldan. We'll see about Gonzalo Pineda there, but wanted to give those updates before we go any further. We'll get all the injury updates and a lot more. And then finally, before we welcome Garth on, this should be noted, we'll get to this here in a few minutes. Thursday is the transfer window deadline. The transfer window closes this Thursday. So the big question is, how are the Sounders going to look? Will they make a move by Thursday? Will they make a signing? Garth and I will talk about that in a few minutes. But let's start with some other things. And joining us right now, there he is, calling in, the Sounders general manager and president of soccer, Garth Lagerwey, joining us right now here on Sounders Weekly. Good evening, Garth. I know times are very, very busy for you right now. We appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Jackson. How are you?
I'm doing good, Garth. I'm doing much better than late last week. And Garth, let's start on the Sounder front here, and there's a lot to get to here, so let's just start here. And Stan Staskel of The Athletic reported yesterday that Atlanta United have requested permission to interview Gonzalo Pineda, assistant coach Gonzalo Pineda, for the Sounders about their head coaching job. He was, of course, interviewed by DC United over the winter. So I think the first simple question is, did they get that permission? How does this situation work with this being in the middle of a season where you're halfway through right now?
Yeah, so yes, that report's accurate. Atlanta did call and ask for permission to speak to Gonzalo. We granted that permission, and that process will take place in the short term. I mean, as to what follows after that, obviously Atlanta will do their process, and we'll respect that. And But Gonzalo, for me, is one of, if not the best assistant coaches in the league. He is richly deserving of this opportunity. And, you know, we support any of our folks that can move on to leadership positions. And certainly Gonzalo's rendered great service to the club, both as a player and as a coach. And if he tells us this is an interesting opportunity for him, then we'll work to accommodate that.
We'll see what happens there. You know, it's so funny, Garth, and we're both, you know, big sports fans, even outside of the soccer game. And when you look at other sports teams, and my brain immediately goes to a team like the Seattle Seahawks, when you have so much success over a long period of time, it's inevitable. And you see it in almost every case where assistant coaches go off and get other jobs. I think like almost every Seahawks assistant that won a championship ended up going and getting a bigger job. With the success of the last 5 years from 16 through 20, based on what you've seen in other sports, how surprised are you that you and the whole staff have been able to keep this entire coaching staff together with nobody getting taken away?
Look, I think the pandemic slowed some of it down, if I'm honest, Jackson. Mm. You know, I think that to your point, I think we expected departures at some point. And look, I would put Chris Henderson among those departures, right? Chris leaving to run Miami in the number one job. And that was, again, something that was richly deserved, hugely earned, you know, and again, nothing but praise for Chris's work for the club for over a decade. And really excited that he got that opportunity. And yes, this is part of success. You know, if you do things well, particularly if you do them consistently well over a sustained period of time, then other people are going to take notice of that, and they're going to take notice of that success, and they're going to try to take your people. And again, like I think it's even wrong to think about it as taking people. You know, they're going to give some of your people opportunities, and our guys have earned them. And you know, we will support them as they move on to bigger jobs. And, you know, even we maybe haven't talked publicly that much about it, but, you know, if you think of like Mark Nichols, who was, you know, the original architect of our academy program, you know, that he went on to be technical director at Charlotte, and Chris Little went from being our defiance coach to being on the first team staff at Colorado. So John Hutchinson, who's, you know, development coach year now, the top assistant at a team in the top couple clubs in Japan. So, you know, a whole bunch of these things have happened. It's just what I would say is it's been maybe the level just underneath, you know, our very top assistants. And we've seen, you know, Chris go as sporting director. But so we have had some of this, but I do think we will have more of it. And I do think that's fairly inevitable. And hopefully that's a sign that we're doing things right.
Yeah, and with exactly on that point, Gonzalo Pineda now going to be interviewed by Atlanta United there for their head coaching position. So we will see what happens there. Is there any compensation that has to go either way? I remember the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a trade of John Gruden as a head coach, and there was a draft pick situation and all that. Is that sort of the case, or is it a simple kind of sign and then he leaves eventually sort of a thing?
I think that's stuff that we'll have to figure out with Atlanta. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay, well, we'll stay up to date on that. Garth Lagerwey is our guest, Sounders general manager and president of soccer. Garth, we just got done by talking about the Gold Cup, and you had Christian Roldan play 54 minutes in stoppage there in Sunday's final. Greg Berhalter, the head coach, called him his, quote, ace in the hole coming off the bench. We'll talk about the Gold Cup here in a second and how great that was, and MLS, Liga MX, that whole dynamic. But just first, what did you see from Christian Roldan through this entire tournament and there in that final?
He showed his versatility, and he showed his mental resiliency. You know, any role that Greg put him in, I thought he came on, with Christian, you always get just an indefatigable work rate and determination, and he showed that, and he showed that he could hang at the national team level that way. And he did it in a couple of different roles. So I think, you know, when you look at, you know, building a qualifying team, building a World Cup team potentially, you know, that's how Christian is going to make that team, is through that versatility, through that determination. And knowing, too, that he's been in a ton of big games. You know, when you play in four or five finals and win a couple of them, you've been in some big moments. You've been on some bright stages. And you know, Christian's playing in front of 40,000 most of the time in Seattle, and you know, that I think helps, and I think we produce players that are able to thrive in these big arenas, and Christian is a great example of that, and was really, really proud of him and happy for him, and I'll share a little anecdote, Jackson. I texted him after the game, and I said, you know, congrats, man, really happy for you, and he immediately responded with, get ready for Wednesday.
Oh.
You know, and like to have, you know, that much of a team die. Like, it's the guy literally is, you know, he may have been holding the gold cup at that moment. And, you know, he's like, I want to get back and play for the Sounders on Wednesday. So he's an amazing kid, man. It's an amazing family. And, you know, we've been really lucky to have Christian and Alex both with us for a number of years.
Well, you just used the word indefatigable. Or, honestly, I had never heard that word before, so I just had to Google it while you were giving that answer. And says the one definite, it's a real word. No, you're good. It's a real word. Of course, you would know that. But the definition is just simply persisting tirelessly. And that's just the perfect definition for Christian Roldan. He is just constantly persisting wherever he is on the field to tireless extents, no matter how he's feeling, no matter the minute, no matter the situation, he's just always going at 100%. And right there, I mean, you said getting ready for Wednesday. I mean, 54 minutes, thank goodness it wasn't longer in the sense of looking towards tomorrow's match. How much do you think that he could go tomorrow against Dallas? Or is he kind of just right back in the building? I saw the picture yesterday that Sounders FC had on Twitter. Is he ready to rock and roll tomorrow?
You know, it's obviously those decisions will get made by Coach Metzer and on lineups and minutes and starting and all that stuff. So I'll leave that to him. But I can tell you that Christian's enthusiastic, and I would imagine that Christian is representing that he is ready to play.
Well, we will see. Wouldn't that be something? If he goes and wins a Gold Cup and goes 54 in stoppage and that stoppage, then you can add it all up to, you know, basically playing more than two-thirds of a game. If Christian then can go on Wednesday for the Sounders tomorrow, that would be fantastic. Garth, let's talk about the Gold Cup overall and specifically this final, which really was a great showing of MLS versus Liga MX. And we talked about it a few minutes ago on the show and how for the United States men's national team, this was very much a B team. The A team, obviously, the European players over there, but this was a team heavily marked by MLS talent from Turner Zardes, Roldan there on the bench. And so much of this Gold Cup final highlighted the MLS talent versus Liga MX talent. And while you haven't seen the CCL, CONCACAF Champions League, seen that results for MLS breakthrough just yet, we did see this now in the Gold Cup. So do you see this as more proof that these leagues, Liga MX and MLS, are closer now in terms of quality than they've ever been?
Look, it's a good sign, right? Not just one win, but two wins, right? Nations League and Gold Cup for the United States. You know, I think it's a credit to Coach Berhalter, and it's certainly a credit to the MLS guys, because that was an MLS team that won the Gold Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a bunch of, and again, you know, not exclusively, but certainly primarily and substantially. And, you know, they rode some really, really good performances. You know, and some of those guys, I think, are going to make it to the qualifying squad now as a result of that success and those performances. And as we discussed, hopefully Christian's one of those guys. But I think it's a real hat tip to MLS as a whole. It's a big win for our league. And look, it was not maybe Mexico's full best team either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we, you know, let's not get carried away, I guess, with the comparisons and as to the results of what were two very, very close games, right? But certainly it's encouraging if MLS and Liga MX are very, very close. You know, I think we still have some work to do in the sense of winning Champions League games against Mexico. The historical record there still is not great.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that comes with time. And I think this is all an example of MLS getting better and better and better. And, you know, you and I have talked on the show several times about the potential benefit as we go forward of games between Liga MX and MLS teams.
Right, that's exactly right. And on that point, next Tuesday, August 10th, our Sounders return to tournament play by hosting Liga MX side Tigres UANL in the League's Cup quarterfinals. Sounder fans, you can get your tickets to the Rave Greens clash with the 2020 CONCACAF Champions League winners by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. But Garth, looking at this match here, another huge chance for this team to show that right here, you know, and not just the Sounders, but MLS clubs, to show we are right there next to Liga MX in terms of quality. And a great test coming up next Tuesday against Tigres.
Absolutely, man. That's a game we're excited about, and we're excited about that tournament. I think that tournament is going to be big time. I think you could see it grow and expand and hopefully become a tremendous on the field and off the field success story. That is exactly the kind of thing that I think we need to be doing in terms of growing MLS, growing interest in MLS, not just in the U.S., but across the border. And I think it's a really critical thing in the run-up to the World Cup. I mean, the World Cup is such an opportunity for us in 2026 to work with Canada, to work with Mexico across CONCACAF, to really strengthen the whole region. And if we can make the whole region stronger, that's going to elevate the level of play of MLS and of the national team. So, clearly of the Sounders, right? I mean, we've just been through a season where, you know, we started five teenagers against Austin, right? And we're fortunate to win the game. And, you know, that was a breakthrough for us. That was a different moment. That wasn't possible even a year ago. And as we get more and more of these kids we develop pushing through, it's going to become more and more a fact of life in terms of our identity as a club and also our ability to take on Liga MX teams and play in multiple competitions. And certainly that's something we're really excited about, the game with Tigres.
I think that's a great point in the sense of if you're able to have a different rotational squad, be able to get results at both levels when you have those overlapping competitions and CONCACAF Champions League at the start of a year. And as those overlap, being able to play both of those and have success in both of those, that will then just take that next level and we'll see that next step. Garth, we still have to get to some injury updates. You had a lot for us last week. We had a couple more for us this week. And then Thursday is the transfer window closing. So let's take a quick break, if that's all right. We'll come back and we'll hit both those things. Sound good?
You got it, buddy.
All right, more with Garth Lagerwey coming up next on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio 950.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back. Jackson Feltz here on your radio home for the Rave Green, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Thanks for spending your Tuesday evening here with us. And thanks to the man who is rejoining us right now here on Sounders Weekly, Garth Lagerwey, Sounders General Manager and President of Soccer. We talked a lot about the situation with Gonzalo Pineda, the Gold Cup. You have the Leagues Cup coming up next Tuesday. We'll have a post-game show here on KJR. We're not going to be having the game broadcast at 7 o'clock, but we'll be taking the air at 9 o'clock for a post-game show for the Leagues Cup coming up next Tuesday. But now it's time to turn our attention to what's going on right now with the team as Garth Lagerwey joins us again. And Garth, we talked so much about injury updates last week. It ended up being about half the interview. You had so many injury updates for us, and there are a couple ones to still go over here. Let's start with Josh Atencio. We learned after the game that he plays about a half hour with a broken rib. How's he doing? What's the prognosis there? It's impressive that he played on that, but it's also like, oh no, another injury.
Yeah, my understanding, Jackson, is that technically the rib is not broken.
Oh, good.
That he may have bruised ribs. Now, I don't know that that makes it particularly less painful. Certainly, I'm proud of the kid for playing through that because bruised ribs hurts a lot, hurts to breathe. And when you're running it like a professional athlete and you can't breathe normally, then you can imagine that that's somewhat challenging. That said, you know, what I will say to maybe cut to the chase, Jackson, is unless something changed today in practice, and I don't believe that it has, we will have no USL call-ups for this game.
Whoa.
So I think we have had call-ups for the last five or six games, and we will not need any for Wednesday. So in terms of people coming back and at least being active, I think we're trending in a positive direction, and I think the hope is we're only going to get healthier overall from here on out.
Okay, so I'm trying to do the mental math right now, and you had, what, two call-ups against San Jose, right? Villanueva was, I believe, one of them we saw the field. So we had Will Bruin back in that match, so to get one from Christian Roldan, and then am I missing one other one that you're going to get back? I'm probably blanking on something right now as I kind of think through the numbers.
Yeah, well, so AB and Brad Smith were the other two that were out right for that game that were short-term issues, and I think we're at least cautiously optimistic that those guys will play, be able to play some kind of role. You know, again, those decisions will be Coach Schmetzer's, but if they were on course to be potentially available for the game on Wednesday.
Wow. So A.B. Sissoko, that's great to see because he's been such a bright spot along that back line because of Nuhu's injury sliding in there at the left center back role. A.B. Sissoko has been a really bright place, so that's good to hear about him. And then Brad Smith as well. Whenever you see left hamstring strain, I mean, we looked at it a few years back, and you never want to see one of those. So very, very good to hear about that. And then to wrap up the injury points, Nuhu, we know you said last week, a work in progress with no timeline. Stefan Fry back by the fall. Nico Ladero back by the early fall, perhaps maybe even late summer, you said. We saw Nicolas Ladero was training with actual teammates, kicking balls around and actual team drills last week. Any updates on those three? Anything change with those?
Yeah, you know, I would just say, you know, exactly what your eye has seen, right? Which is that Nico's on the field with the first team and the other two are not. So, you know, I think it's fair to say Nico's ahead of those guys. And again, hopefully he keeps making progress and we can get him back sooner than later. But it, you know, it's not imminent. He still has a couple of boxes to check and a little ways to go, but he's making real progress. He's been an incredibly hard worker throughout his rehab. And it's just great to see him on the field. And it's great to see him with a little smile on his face again and just the benefit he brings to the training sessions immediately. He's such a leader for us. He's such an influential player, and it's great to see him getting closer now.
It definitely is a contagious smile when he walks off training and you see the thumbs up that he gives to us reporters and you see him smiling and walking off. It's such a great sign. So good news there on Nico. We hope to see him back soon. Garth Lagerwey is our guest, Sounders General Manager, President of Soccer. And here we go, Garth. Now we get into the meat and potatoes, what probably a lot of fans have been waiting on their hands and knees for right now in this interview, and that is the transfer window closing on Thursday. So let's start with this. Based on three losses in the last four, you get Minnesota, KC, and then San Jose. Based on the recent run of play, do you feel an added rush or added urgency to make a signing right now in the next 48 hours or so before this window closes?
No.
And why not?
That's just the GM world, man. No one game, no three or four games is indicative, or it's not going to move the strategy. I think if anything, if you looked overall at the whole season, you'd say, hey, we had some young guys break through, maybe at a level higher than we thought. We've had literally all of our veterans hit: Rowe, Madranda, Cleveland, Montero. We've just had a really, really high success rate with, you know, what I would call the middle and in the up and coming parts of our roster. But at the end of the day, you know, we've had the success we've had because of the elite players we have. And, you know, we will get much better as those players come back. And that's in no way a knock on those middle to and up-and-coming players. Those guys play really big, important roles for us. They did their job. They kept us afloat while we were down some guys. But now, hopefully, you know, if we can make it to the Dallas game with no call-ups, I'm cautiously optimistic we won't need any for the rest of the year. And for us, that means getting, you know, depending on how you phrase it, 5 to 7 starters back, you know, from our low point at least. And that's, you know, that's literally half a team worth of guys who have played in, you know, many of whom have played in 3 or 4 of the last 5 finals. So we think that we have a great team. We are excited to get those guys back. And, as I said several times on your program, we believe in the guys in our locker room. And, you know, we are not going to go out and dump a bunch of money on something that we're not in love with without trying to take care of the guys in our locker room. And in a flat cap scenario where we are in year 2 of 3 years in a row of flat cap, and people can't – I understand everybody loses sight of that, but that's where we are. That means we have to be responsible financially. And I'm talking within the salary cap. In order to try to keep our core team together, because again, we believe we have a good group. We believe we've had a lot of success recently. And so we cannot mortgage our future right now to go all in knowing that we have a flat cap year next year and we want to keep this group together.
Okay, and then you talk about trying to find somebody you're in love with there in that scenario. Once again, Garth Lagerwey is our guest. And you said a quote last week that made a couple headlines, and that said there's always more than one player. And that was when I asked about the Wesley negotiations. And on that, there's always more than one player. You know, when you're working these deals and trying to find and add something that you do love and trying to find something, and with you and Ravi Ramenini and both of you guys kind of narrowing down on those specific pieces of the puzzle to add to, how important is positional flexibility given the uncertainty of the lineup, the formation, the injury situations in 2022 as well? Given all of that, when you're narrowing these names down and trying to find those specific people you're in love with, how difficult is that to find, and have you been able to find those given every other parameter involved here in this difficult situation here in a still COVID-affected year?
Yeah, look, it pushes you toward an absolute top-of-the-market player because you have to have a player, as you said, that can play flexibly, that can play multiple positions in multiple formations and be successful. And I'm going to tease something here. There's going to be an announcement about the All-Star team later in the week, and I think our fans are going to be excited about that announcement. And I think when you see that announcement, I think it'll lay out just how challenging it is to try to improve our team. Because apparently there are some folks around the league that think we have a pretty good team as well. So I'll let that play out and our fans can look for that. But we are super excited when that announcement comes. And again, it has to be a player that is clearly better than one of the guys who's going to start for us when we're totally healthy. And, you know, that in order for us to make that, you know, the major investment to make a young DP under 22 DP signing. And that has to be true, not just for now, but for the next couple of years. And then you have this further layer, Jackson, of are the players vaccinated or not?
Right.
Because our locker room is fully vaccinated. Our staff is fully vaccinated. And we're really proud of that. And, you know, so it's, we have challenges around, would we take a player who is not vaccinated? So, I never would have thought that was part of our scouting criteria that we needed to tick off. We'll see how we come out on that criteria in the end. Because in some of these South American countries, vaccines are not even widely available. And obviously maybe a player can come here and then they can go through that process. But, you know, long story short, it's the trickiest window that I think we've ever tried to sign someone in. We have tried to take some big swings, but again, it's got to be the right thing in terms of trying to improve this team because we got a lot of confidence in the guys in that locker room.
Interesting. Well, let's wrap it up with this, Garth, as we close out the interview here. And reading between the lines and trying to read between the lines of all of this, then I think we'll wrap it up with this question. We're, you know, just about 48 hours from this deadline closing here. What is your confidence level that this team adds somebody, or do you want to keep this team how it is right now? Do you think something gets done?
I wouldn't hazard a guess at this point, Jackson. In part, man, just because from a negotiating standpoint, I don't want to give anything away, right?
I
don't need to be that about that. But I would say this. I think we are fine if we stand pat. We're going to get more players out of this summer window than any other team. We're going to get at least 5 starters back in the summer window. And if you look at where our team is and how our team has performed, add literally half a team's worth of players to us, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. Now, if we're able to add to that and build it out, that's the goal. But again, if we don't get the right deal, then we're okay standing pat as well.
Well, you got a heck of an addition sitting right now with a smile working out at Starfire and Nicholas Ladero, and hopefully we see him back very soon because that is going to be the biggest addition for any team in Major League Soccer here in the window. All right, Garth, we will see what happens. We won't talk to you next week, of course, because we have the League's Cup match, KGR's postgame show at 9 p.m. next Tuesday. So we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, sir. Enjoy the time, and we'll see what happens here this Thursday.
You got it, man.
Good stuff there from Garth Lagerwey, Seattle Sounders general manager, president of soccer. So we'll see how this team looks there after the transfer window passes there on Thursday. We'll stay tuned on that match coming up tomorrow for the Sounders against Dallas at Lumen Field. But it's time to turn our attention down to the South Sound, down at Cheney Stadium. Each week, Andrew Harvey, Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice, gives us 60 seconds in the South Sound. But I think we're going to stretch Andrew's business here a little bit tonight. We have a couple things that we additionally want to talk to him about. But first, as always, Andrew gives 60 seconds on everything going on with Tacoma Defiance, the Sounders USL squad right now, and OL Reign.
It was a week of strong performances at home in the South Sound, Jackson. Tacoma Defiance picked up 4 points last week, taking down San Diego Loyal 2-1 at home thanks to a goal and a spectacular backheel assist from Azriel Gonzalez on Carlos Anguiano's game winner last Thursday. Defiance then got gritty, slugging out a 0-0 draw against a strong New Mexico United side on a hazy Sunday afternoon. That draw, by the way, pushes Defiance above the red line with just under half the season left to play. There's no rest in the books for Defiance. They're back in action against Sacramento Republic at Cheney Stadium at 7 p.m. on Thursday. They'll round out the four-match homestand on Sunday against Oakland Roots SC at 1:30 p.m. Both those matches can be viewed on ESPN+. OL Reign put more distance between itself and the bottom of the table last Saturday, taking down expansion side Racing Louisville FC 2-0 at home thanks to a brace from French superstar Eugenie Le Sommer, including a strong goal of the week contender in the 27th minute. OL Reign could vault itself into a playoff position with a win at home against the Houston Dash, who they'll face at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and that match can be seen on Twitch.
Well, Sommer's goal, Andrew, was something absolutely brilliant. I don't know where it stood on SportsCenter's top 10. I hope it was number one, because that was deserving of that spot. Also great to see Tacoma Defiance there getting over that red line, sliding into fourth place. Good results for both of those squads. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about while you have a minute here is the United States women's national team. We talked about the men earlier on in the show tonight, but the women's national team that we talked about last week, and we were sort of kind of even off the air talking about the run-up to this situation, but then losing in the semifinals to Canada, Andrew. I mean, what happened this tournament here in the Olympics, and how disappointing of a result is that?
Certainly it's a failure to live up to the lofty expectations set for the women's national team, Jackson. I mean, this is a team that routinely expects to be in cup finals and gold medal matches. Canada, despite being the eighth-ranked team in the world, hadn't beaten the U.S. in over 20 years, all the way back to 2001, which I think really is more indicative of how exceptional the women's national team program has been in the realm of international women's soccer. But this tournament, they've looked maybe not average, but just not up to their usual standards of excellence. And that's been true in pretty much every facet of their game, with the sole caveat being Alyssa Nair, who really kept them in a lot of matches they otherwise might not have been and will be unavailable for that bronze medal match. And you certainly have to say that Nair's absence in that semifinal certainly had a large role in the U.S.'s failure to reach the gold medal game.
Well, it was disappointing for sure, Andrew, but hopefully they can still come home with the bronze and be able to get a podium. Just disappointing that they weren't able to even get to the final there for the national team. But, again, going back to it, great news for OL Reign there and Defiance. Both of them starting to get some really good results. Defiance into fourth place. Reign play on Saturday, Defiance on Thursday. We'll get another update from you next week on everything going on. Andrew, we appreciate the time as always, and have a good one, buddy.
Thanks very much, Jackson. Take care.
Andrew Harvey, Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice, each week giving us 60 seconds in the South Sound. Glad we could take him for a few extra seconds today to talk about the national team as well. Well, we'll take a break, turn our attention back to Seattle Sounders FC. Match coming up tomorrow at Lumen Field, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, Sounders hosting FC Dallas. We'll preview that with TV analyst Steve Davis. That's coming up next on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back. Jackson Feltz here. Great to have you on this Tuesday evening here on your radio home for the Rave Green, 950 KJR, Sounders Weekly every Tuesday. Next week, of course, we're going to have the League's Cup match against Tigres, but for the Sounders, tomorrow, Wednesday, August 4th, your Rave Green are back in action when they welcome FC Dallas to Lumen Field. You can get tickets to the 7 p.m. match by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. You can watch the contest on Joe TV, stream on Prime Video, listen in Spanish language on LRay 1360, but I encourage you to listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. Wednesday's match is presented by Michelob Ultra, 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, Michelob Ultra. And joining us right now to preview tomorrow's match against FC Dallas is Steve Davis. You can follow him on Twitter at SteveDavis90. He's a writer, broadcaster. He's a TV analyst for FC Dallas. And he joins us again here. Steve, it's been a while, my friend. How are you?
Doing good here. Now, this is usually about the place where I would ask you to make me feel jealous about how hot, how warm it is, how cool it is up there. But man, I don't I don't feel good about what you guys have been going through the last couple of months. So I hope it's a little better right now.
Yeah, and right now, even then, we're dealing with some wildfire smoke from the eastern side of the state. It's kind of stayed away from Seattle, but over the last few days, it really kind of came in Sunday. It's orange, and these are the times of summers. We're very used to it here where, you know, for a week or two every summer, it just the sky goes orange and it just becomes miserable to be outside. But, you know, hey, it's only, 80 or so degrees. So, you know, you guys certainly have the heat down there, Steve. But yeah, it's no picture perfect summer Seattle right now.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to play in that stuff, too. Yeah. You know, you talk to players that have played down in Mexico City, and they talk about it. It's like playing soccer in a smoky bar, you know, and it's not easy.
Well, playing soccer while in a bar or playing soccer after being at a bar, I can tell you, is not a fun experience. Steve Davis is with us to look ahead to this Dallas game. Now, Steve, listen, this is the first thing to do, and that's to give a round of applause and a big, hearty thank you for beating Sporting Kansas City last weekend. I was able to catch some of that match. Very impressive. Why don't you take us through it there, the win there over SKC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, really, it just came down, like a lot of matches, it came down to opportunism. Sporting Kansas City probably manufactured just a little bit more of the better chances. Dallas had two or three chances, took two of them very well. In a lot of ways, that's sort of been a story of their season, that they're creating enough chances, even on the road, but they just weren't finishing. And, you know, if you look at, for instance, who they had starting the first few games, Freddy Vargas, new winger, came in, deserved a shot. He just hasn't panned out. Javier O'Brien, sort of the same. He's got some goals, but a couple of them were relatively easy put-aways. And then Frank O'Hara, who just has never come good, you know, in the times they've had him here. You know, those guys, I was just running the numbers a few minutes ago. I think they've got the front four attackers for FC Dallas have, at the beginning of the year, the front four they were using have 6 goals and 3 assists. Now, fast forward to the Sporting Kansas City match and what happened the other day, the front four right now have something around, I'm not looking at it, 11 goals and 8 assists. So the other day, Paxton Pomykal, very early, gave him a little too much room. Ball's on his right foot. He's better with his left foot. He buries it. It just the same. A little bit later, Jesus Ferreira, same thing. Takes a good preparation touch outside the box, buries a shot. It's just being opportunistic and then just managing the match from there, which young team, second youngest roster in Major League Soccer, just being frank, they haven't always done that this year. The other day, they got the game across the finish line.
Yeah, Steve, you talk about how young that team is. We'll get to that here in a moment because that's something that we've talked a lot about here in Seattle in terms of youth. And Steve Davis is our guest. Sure. You can follow him on Twitter, @SteveDavis90. He's a TV analyst for FC Dallas. And one thing that stood out to me, you mentioned, you know, kind of the talk of the season and how it's gone in terms of creating chances and whatnot. But what stood out to me is we were kind of looking ahead a couple matches ago to Dallas coming up before a little break and then Portland was, all right, this is a team that has one win in 11 games. And then boom, back-to-back wins here over the LA Galaxy and Sporting Kansas City here. So when you look back at that run of 1-11, and of course there was a whole bunch of draws, do you feel like you've come out of the other side of that and that's long in the rearview mirror, or is that kind of still fresh in the minds and it's like, all right, let's make sure we don't fall back into that realm?
You know, it's a real good question. I think when you have a young roster, you get some good and some bad. You know, the bad is that they don't have a lot of been there, done that. As I just said, there were moments this season where you could literally see the immaturity play out on the field. I watch a lot of Seattle games, and it's a very emotionally mature team. It's a team that understands moments, when to raise the game, when to manage the game, how to start games, how to finish games, how to manage those moments of frustration. You know, Dallas didn't have that in a lot of ways early in the season. So you ask if this is, you know, if it's in the rearview mirror. I don't know that it is, but on the other hand, all those bad moments that FC Dallas had with young players, the good that you get is that they have short memories. Mm-hmm. Young players, you hear college, football, basketball, whatever coaches talk about this all the time. Young players just bounce back. You know, they don't get inside their heads as often, and they don't dwell on things. And you have a bad game, and Dallas had some bad results. Young players, it's like, you go eat, your chicken wings or whatever, and you say hi to your girlfriend, and pretty much you come back to practice and you're okay the next day. So I think Dallas had a lot of that too. So I don't know that they were dwelling on the losses as much as maybe it might appear, because they were a young team.
All right, what's the best chicken wing place there in Dallas then?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't eat chicken wings. Only the ones I cook. I love cooking them, but I couldn't even tell you that.
Steve, last thing for you here, and let's look ahead to this game coming up tomorrow at Lumen Field. Fill us in on, you know, this Dallas team. Obviously, we can look at the records. It's 4-7-5 coming at Seattle, which is a 9-3-5 team. How do you think Dallas plays it? Is it going for 1 or 3 points? And then also, who are the names that we really need to worry about on that Dallas squad coming here tomorrow?
You don't have to be a TV analyst or a writer to understand that right now they've got a hot striker, Ricardo Pepi, scored a hat trick last week against LA Galaxy. He's a guy who, he's got that instinct. He knows where to be and when to be there inside the box. He doesn't need a lot of time to uncork a shot. He's just accurate. I think he's the guy that Kansas City managed it pretty well the other day. And he's also not a guy who's real comfortable being isolated. You know, on the road, your striker gets a little more isolated up there as you sit back a little bit more. And that's not really Pepe's forte. But if you can get him the ball, you know, provide enough service around the penalty area, he's definitely a guy that can hurt Seattle. If you look at his accuracy, I haven't updated the numbers, but going into the game the other day, I know he was 16 shots on target out of 25 total shots. That's 64%. So, you know, collectively, most teams are around 34-35%. It's pretty, it's kind of wild when I looked at the numbers, how steady that is. About 34-35%, he's 64%. So he is a guy who's very accurate once he gets the ball inside the box.
Jeez, and we were just finishing talking about a Minnesota team about a week and a half ago, and Minnesota is at something like, I think, 20% or right just barely above 20%. So by contrast, oh yeah, that is not somebody, but it's a good time. Seattle has all three of their center backs back healthy, Shane O'Neill, Javier Arriaga, and Yeimar Gomez-Andrade. So it seems like those three need to have big games to shut him down. That is certainly somebody to watch. Well, this will be an interesting one tomorrow, Steve, a certain fun chess match between Lucci and Brian Schmetzer here locally. Have a good call. Let's enjoy the game, and good luck out there. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, you guys as well. I appreciate you having me on.
Steve Davis, FC Dallas broadcaster. Great to have him on Sounders Weekly. And then once again, this match coming up tomorrow, 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 pre-match right here on KJR. And Sounder fans, even the greatest athletes, make sure to take the time to catch up with their friends over at Michelob Ultra, because they know that the joy is the whole game, not the end game. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And Sounder fans, also important to note that season ticket deposits for the 2022 season are now available. Don't miss your chance to secure the best seats at Lumen Field for next year by placing a deposit today. Visit soundersfc.com/tickets to learn more. So that'll do it for the show tonight. Want to thank all of our guests, including Steve Davis right there. If you missed any of the show, check out the podcast on the Sports Radio KJR.com and the iHeartRadio app. Just search Sounders Weekly. We will talk to you tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, Sounders FC Dallas. We'll talk to you then. Fox Sports Radio coming up.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.